Blog Talk Radio.
Diary entry. Diary entry. August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I want to thank you for joining me today. We have a very special guest, up-and-coming singer. So many styles she sings, jazz, soul, pop, urban, folk, alternative rock. She's held the stage with Patti LaBelle, Frank McComb, Jaguar, Wright, Bilal, the Clark Sisters, Hezekiah Walker, and many other notable artists. Good morning, Anomaly.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's cool.
So what made you decide to go into singing? What happened when you were younger? Were you influenced by music? I know I read that one of your parents was a classical pianist.
My mother, yes, and my father was a pastor who also was a singer. So according to my mother, I sang before I spoke.
Wow.
I learned to speak by singing. I would hum along with jingles very, very, very young, like, you know, 5-6 months old, and that's how I picked up on it. So I think that singing was just genetic. It was just destined. It was something I couldn't avoid.
You also play some instruments. What, you play the piano. Do you play any other instruments?
I do play keys. I play a little bit of guitar and bass and drums, but functionally I'm more of a keyboard, pianist, organist. I grew up being a minister of music.
Do you play or sing in the church with your father?
Well, my father actually passed away about 10 years ago,
okay.
But my mother is a minister of music, and I've been a minister of music since I was 12 years old. So I play for various churches. I teach choirs, lead worship, all of those types of things.
So who were some of your mentors? Who are some of the artists that are out here now, or even from the past, that you look up to or you aspire to be like?
There's not too many artists that I'm really, really totally digging right now. I really do like Frank McComb.
Mm-hmm.
But he, of course, is kind of a reincarnation of Donny Hathaway, who to me is the ultimate soul singer of all times. I very much was influenced by gospel, of course. The Clark Sisters were humongous influence on me. Vanessa Bell Armstrong, the Hawkins, you can't really name, I'm an 80s kid, so you can't really name too many artists huge back then that didn't influence me. As far as, quote-unquote, the secular world goes, I would definitely have to say Rochelle Farrell, Anita Baker, Phyllis Hyman, but also then Alanis Morissette, Janis Joplin, Anne Murray, Karen Carpenter. I'm into a little bit of everything, and I was raised listening to every genre you can possibly imagine, from gospel to Willie Nelson and country. So,
I think that gives you a better, you're a better artist with listening to all types of music. You can bring in all different styles together. What is your process? You also write your songs. So you're playing your music, you write your songs. What is your process for writing songs? I mean, how do you come up with ideas? Do you, like, go isolate yourself, or do you take a run, or yoga? What do you do to start your process for writing songs?
Well, actually, a run and yoga are really great suggestions. So that's something I should probably get into. It might help me more clear. Let's see. I actually have more than one process. I can maybe give you a few examples.
Sure.
I have a song about my father that you can hear on my website, and that song is a very common process for me. I am not a person who believes that you just sit in a studio and write an album in a week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that genuine music comes from someplace more divine and much deeper inside of you. So for that song in particular, I wrote it after my father was murdered, and it took me 2 years to write that song. because it had to process, and I had to feel that it was finished. And I don't believe in just putting something out there until I feel like it's finished.
Right.
I had another song similar, I think you're going to play later, Why, about the HIV epidemic and how it's affecting black women in particular, and I wrote it from a first-person perspective. I'm not HIV positive, but I know a lot of women who are.
Mm-hmm.
And that song, I just had a concept for it for about 3 or 4 years. And then one day, a producer let me hear a track that was very similar to the melody in my head, and I sat down in 10 minutes and poured the whole song out.
Wow.
So
let's talk a little bit more about that. Talk about the HIV. That you were working with Bobashi. You got nominated. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, because of the song Why, Bobashi had me actually in 2006 be the headline artist for their Celebrity AIDS Gala, which was amazing because I'm not exactly a celebrity yet, knock on wood. But I got to, you know, open for all these fabulous actors and entertainers who were extremely moved by this song. And that song, I wrote it because I wanted to put a face on something that makes us incredibly uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And having a background in the church, but having, I guess, an eye for everything going on around me, being very politically conscious and aware and
mm-hmm.
socially conscious and aware, I could not be negligent of an issue that was so huge, not only in our community, but in the world and globally. It's a pandemic. It's huge. And
yes, I just did a show with Bobashi about the AIDS epidemic, and about 54% of African-American women are part of the newly diagnosed population of HIV/AIDS. And it's something that I don't know what is going on in people's heads, but it's here, it's present, it has not gone away, there is not a cure. And yes, people are living now who have who are HIV positive, they're living their lives and going to work, yet and still it's a very devastating disease. And so it's not something, oh, well, if I get it, oh, I can just take a pill or I can, you know, take an injection or something like that. It still can devastate your life. So people definitely need to be aware and conscious and get tested and talk about it in their relationship. So I'm very happy that you did a song about that.
Thank you. I completely agree. That's one of the main issues of the song. One of the lines is, I should have loved me more than I loved you. What a high price playing love's fool. And I think that at the very root of the issue, specifically with black women, it's a lack of self-love. I think that in our community, we're taught to be very, very strong. We're
mm-hmm.
taught to take care of everyone else. We're not taught to put self first. We're not taught to love self first. We're not taught that we're exquisitely beautiful. We're not usually seen as the supermodels, et cetera. So
mm-hmm.
we don't value ourselves enough.
Right.
That we don't have to share parts of ourselves that are sacred in unsafe ways. And that's one of the major themes. I don't want to go on a tangent. I know you're trying to change the subject.
I'm really passionate about this. No, let's play the song right now since we're really into the conversation. And, yes, I agree that it is about self-love because I think what it is people are fearful in general of talking about sexual issues. And when you start a relationship, you are, you know, trying to show your best foot forward. So to bring up something that we might say is a ugly or difficult conversation, you don't really want to do that in, you know, the first week of your relationship with someone. Yet and still, because it is a life-threatening issue, and not just AIDS, but other STDs should definitely be in the discussion, it has to be brought up because if you do love yourself, you don't want to put yourself at that risk. You don't
exactly.
want to, and you also don't want to risk somebody else's life. You may have it and not know it, and so then you're risking other people's lives. So if you don't even care about yourself, think about the person that you supposedly care about on the other side of the table. But let me play a little bit of song now, okay?
Awesome, thank you.
Thank you.
that is a really powerful issue that we just talked about, the HIV/AIDS epidemic. And it affects not just African Americans, but also other people all over the world. So it's definitely something that needs to stay on the forefront of people's minds. So you're talking about your process for writing songs, that it's kind of coming from certain events that are happening in your lives. That's interesting because also poets, and you're doing like spoken word types of songs. The opening song, Only Believers, where did that come from? Where did the idea for that come from?
Actually, wow. I guess it's kind of personal, but I'm a really personal artist, so I really don't mind sharing. Most singers, as quiet as it's kept, have acid reflux disease. It's something with the especially powerful singers. I have a very, very strong voice. So if you've been singing your entire life, it's extremely common. In addition to that, I have really severe asthma, which I think is hilarious because, of course, God has jokes. I'm a professional singer with a breathing disease. Haha. So I was having extreme problems with my voice, and I was having a lot of pain. And I'm a person who, I'm not quite a hypochondriac, but I read everything and I retain everything. And so I'm on the internet, you know, looking at all the possibilities and diagnosing what could possibly be wrong, because I already know, you know, I've been diagnosed with the illnesses that I do have. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get checked for esophageal cancer.
Wow.
Which scared me to death.
Of course.
I'm a person who is pretty fearless in my life in general. Death is one of the things that I do not process well. I've always had major issues around that. So I kind of wrote that song for myself and then for other people, you know, to acknowledge and deal with the fact that, you know, energy can't be destroyed. It can only change forms. You know, there is something beyond this, and there's more even to this than what we see, and I want the fullness of that. So that song is kind of about. It says a whole lot. It actually, the first verse, my very best friend, my best friend in childhood up until I was a very young adult, she died of cancer about 8 or 9 years ago now. She died of breast cancer. And so if you listen to the beginning of the song, I'm saying, you know, I dreamt of a conversation with an old friend last night, you know, and she said, essentially, only believers in death will die. We're only passing from death to life. Which you'll hear, of course, my lyrics are probably very tinged with biblical text, not because I'm, like, you know, so militantly Christian, but because...
Well, no, you were brought up. Yeah, your father was a preacher, so of course that's going to influence you. I just want to let you know you're having some comments from our chat room, and people are saying you have a lovely voice, and they're glad that you're on the show this morning. So you do have fans, and don't worry, you are famous already. You are famous already. What kind of training did you go to school once you realized that this is something that you wanted to do, or did you just go get professional training with an individual coach? How did you strengthen your voice once you realized this is the path you wanted to go about?
Well, I did go to school. My mother also did a lot of training. She taught me piano. But in all honesty, one of the funny things about school was, my mother hates that I say this, I feel like it was just such a waste, because I actually had a college professor in my sophomore year tell me, I won this huge competition over several hundred other students, and she said, you don't belong here. And, you know, I'm like, you know, 17, 18, I'm so offended and insulted, I had no idea what she meant. And she pulled me to the side and she said, what you do, nobody can teach. You don't need to be here, you should be on the road. And
wow.
So it took me a long time to develop the courage to heed her advice, because having grown up with strong church roots, I'm not only a Christian, I grew up Pentecostal. I grew up in church of God in Christ. So anyone who knows, you know, we're the music Pentecostal people, that's what we do, but we're also taught, you know, you only sing for God. You can't sing anything else. You know, it's a very, very strict upbringing. Even though my mother gave me a lot of freedom, the church didn't. So it was definitely a dichotomy for me.
Right.
It took me a long time to get to a place where I always knew my destiny. I always knew what I was meant to do. It's one of those things where I didn't have to figure it out. At 2 years old, I could tell you what I'm telling you now about what I'm meant to do. But I didn't understand my path when my entire life I was encouraged to doing it. So
I know we wanted to play Churchill at the end, but since we're talking about the church right now, why don't we play a little bit of that just to give the audience a feel of that song. Okay. Do you mind playing that right now?
No, not at all. Controversy.
Okay. All right. We're going to play a little bit. So how, okay, here we go. Sorry about that.
This is a live version, by the way.
Yeah, this is from Anomaly's website. Check her out on www.anomaly.us, and you can listen to a lot of her other songs there also. This is Church Girl. This is from World Cafe, correct?
Yes, World Cafe Live last summer.
Okay. Controversy with this song here. I think I get an idea. But why don't you elaborate a little bit?
Let me tell you some of the lyrics, and maybe that'll help explain. The lyrics are, dipped in water, preacher's daughter, read your entire holy grail. Started to question all this oppression and why your religion seems to fail. Tired of lies and all your jaded views, and now that I'm living in truth, I see the truth don't live in you. The hook is, I've been pimped, I've been sold, I've been bought, and I've been told. That if I sang anything else from my heart, I was going to hell. Been broke down, been abused, I've been raped and I've been used. And though I may not look like you, I'm still a church girl. So it definitely kind of grabs the institution of the church by the throat, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. Did you have backlash from your parents, from your mom, so to speak, or
actually,
she was
no.
supportive? No? Okay.
No, actually, the second verse, actually, the first line comes from something that my mother said when I was... When I was a little girl, I dealt with a lot of animosity, and I hate to say the word jealousy because it makes you seem arrogant, but people, when they don't understand you, they tend to either be jealous or just afraid of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a child, I dealt with a lot of cruelty from adults, from grown women. You know, I couldn't wear certain things that other people could wear. It was always an issue. So my mom once said to me, you know, that, you know, if you know, a long skirt could cover up a black heart, we'd all go to heaven. And I actually incorporated that line into the song because I thought it was very profound. And it represents a lot of what I believe. I do not ascribe to traditional Christianity. I am probably a lot more open-minded and eclectic than that. My roots are still my roots. My foundation is rock solid. But I think that the world is much more complex and at the same time much simpler than we choose to make it, and we don't have all the answers, and we are so cruel, and we are so judgmental. And I think the purpose of this life is to master the art of love, and I think that is the basic foundation for Christianity and most other major world religions, and we
That's interesting.
Outside of that.
That's interesting you said that about the issue of love. I just recently saw Nikki Giovanni at the Christian Association, and her new book of poetry is all about love. And part of the reason she wrote that is because she was dealing with a lot of other issues of death and relationships and things. But she was glowing when she talked about the issue of love, and that is so important. And that goes back again to self-love, you know, talking about your HIV/AIDS song, and loving yourself even in the midst of animosity. Because a lot of times people are just throwing their insecurities onto you. Like you were saying when you were younger that people were jealous. That's because, you know, their fear of what they think they can't do. But we are so powerful as human beings. We just need to be fearless in living our lives, and we can make so much difference. I want to ask you.
Said that beautifully.
Yeah. I want to ask you, what do you think a young person who's interested in the music industry, where should they start?
Wow. This is probably the roughest time in history to be getting into the music industry. And I will make no bones about that. It's extremely difficult. Right now, independent is the best way to go, unless you're extremely connected. I'm still young myself, and I'm still wading my way through, so I don't have all the answers, but what is working for me is I am a live singer. So it's some people, they put out a project first, and that works for them. For me, one, I want to put out a project that I can actually, you know, be proud of, and that takes a great deal of money, excuse me, so I'm kind of taking my time with that. So in the meantime, I sing live everywhere, every chance I get. And I don't care if it's 300 or 3,000 or three people in the audience, I give them my soul. And I found that that makes a difference and that opens a lot of doors. Definitely be a writer. Writers and producers make more money than artists, hands down. It's a fact. Know how to play at least one instrument. It's difficult to say you wrote a song if you don't play an instrument. If you can't really say you wrote it in its entirety. Someone will always be able to take partial credit for it, because they were able to do the arrangement for you. Learn the business. Read everything you can. Watch everything you can. If you don't have a lawyer, if you can't afford a lawyer, at least have a consultation with a lawyer, or one or two. Often they'll have a free consult, and you can pick their brains. This is a business. It's a business.
Yeah, so many artists get the money. They lose money because they sign a contract because they're excited and they're like, hey, I got a contract. I'm gonna, you know, do this. I'm gonna travel. And then when everything wraps up, you know, they get pennies. They're kind of, you know,
exactly.
Like, whoa, what happened? I thought I was gonna get $5,000 or $10,000 or, you know, $50,000, and then they got, you know, $1,000 or something. You know, it's just like totally askew of what they were told in the beginning. So
think
that's good.
I'm sorry, when you said they get pennies, that's exactly right. Artists make pennies off of every CD sold, unless they're independent, and they did the pressing of the CDs themselves. They literally make pennies. So you spend $15, $17, $20 on a CD that the artist makes pennies on, 10 cents, 12 cents, 15 cents. Artists generally make their money once they're really established from ad campaigns. From being the face for different, you know, clothing lines, cosmetic lines, sneakers, whatever.
Right.
Before they're that well established, they make their money from touring, from performing. Typically in this day and age, which is one of the reasons it is such a difficult time, you're not going to make your money from CD sales. People are broke. We are in a recession.
So you're saying get out there and pound the pavement, so to speak. Ooh, that was hard to get out. And, you know, and work as much as you can. Since we're talking about pounding the pavement and, you know, working as hard as we can, I know you have a song, it's an older song, A Mile in My Shoes, but it also touches on the issue of people being jealous and judgmental, which really, again, I believe is their own issue. Because when you're in a state of love, if you're living truly in the state of love, then you want the best for anybody around you.
Also,
and you're not
also
worried.
If you're living your truth.
Right.
You
know, you're not
your
worried.
You're living your truth and your purpose. And when you're focused on your purpose and your destiny, things come into place for you in a way that you're not threatened by anyone else. I think that that's the message I want to get out to people in general. Love you, love others, love God. Know your purpose, pursue your purpose. Find out why you were put on this planet and pursue it with diligence. That
right.
is the only thing that I believe will fulfill us and will change us and will bring us to a higher state of consciousness, which I think is so needed.
I definitely agree. Let's play a little bit of A Mile in My Shoes. Just Wow. So basically you're telling people, look, what you see on the outside may not be what's going on. And I think that's true. Last week I had Angie Stone on the show, and she's dealing with the issue of diabetes. I mean, on the outside, you know, people are probably like, wow, she's doing her music, she's traveling all over the world, this and that, but she's dealing with a chronic illness. And also, this month is Lupus Awareness Month, and that was the public service announcement I played in the beginning of the show. And I had America's Next Top Model from 2004 runner-up, Mercedes Skelba Short, and
yes,
she has lupus.
Love her.
You know,
yeah,
she has lupus, and she's beautiful. She's beautiful on the outside and on the inside. The interview went well, but she's also dealing. So people, when you're out there and you're looking at other people's lives, and you think, oh, this, that, the other, get the true story. Talk to them. Communicate. Open up to them. And don't be judgmental about people, because you have no idea what each person is going through. Everybody has something they're dealing with, you know.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I hear him on my cell phone. I apologize. Okay. I am actually so grateful that God made me so strange, I guess. going through the kind of painful experiences and always kind of being on the outside gave me such a clear view into people, their intentions, their motives, what makes us tick. And it actually helped me in a backwards kind of way to do the opposite of what was always done to me. And it also gave me a heart to want to serve and help people. I'm sure that part of that is the ministry that was just instilled in me growing up, but I cannot stand to see people hurting. I cannot stand to see people suffering. And unless you're incredibly cruel, I can usually see past what you're doing to the pain that's going on inside of you. And I think that that's an extremely important thing. So, and the song, I'm being, as usual, pretty honest about the fact that, you know, my life on the outside, you know, I look at this kid that grew up on the main line that, you know, has never struggled. Most people don't know that, you know, I saw my father with 13 bullets in him. Most people don't know that I dealt with lots of abuse. Most people don't know that the church probably caused me more pain than most people growing up on the outside. They don't know the story. So I think it's really important that people, one, are exposed. I think you need to be transparent. I think that we are so jaded and we're so closed off from one another. You know, we text and we email. We don't speak.
Right.
We're afraid to show ourselves.
Anomaly, I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off, but we only have a couple minutes left. I want to ask you, where are you going to be performing next in the Philadelphia area?
I'm pretty certain my next Philly performance is Chris Jazz Cafe on May 29th at 5.
Okay. Also, check out her website, www.anomaly.us, and listen to all her other wonderful songs. We're going to play one other song. This is a newer song, Without You.
Yeah, and I think that's also a live version. Again, you all are getting the live versions because we're in the studio working on the recorded versions, but people keep requesting to be able to hear them. So Without You is a really personal heartbreak song.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on this morning. Again, check out her website, www.anomaly.us. And if you have any questions for me, email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. And next Saturday, I will not have a show, but on May 30th, Kevin Powell, author of a new book dealing with black males, mental, physical, spiritual, economic health, will be on a show May 30th, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. He was recently on Oprah talking about domestic violence issues. But today, thank you, Anomaly, for being on, and we're going to head out with Without You by Anomaly.
Thank you so much, Joy. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
How are you doing? I'm going to go to the world, but it's why I know.